Ephesians chapter 1. Okay, we're going to look at verse 3, because I thought be great. We talk about blessings, you know, I was blessed with this, or that was a great blessing, or, the word blessed is used a lot in the Bible. And here it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, or in the heavenlies, or the heavenly realm in Christ. And the word blessed, the first word, is eulogio. You know, we get the word eulogy, you know, and it means to speak well of, but it means more than that. There's different forms of the word, and it means to speak well of or praise. It can mean to distinguish with favor, or confer happiness. So, depending on which use it is. So here, praised be God, or, you know, speak well of God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, who has conferred upon us favor, right? And with all spiritual blessings, things that, are good for us, or profitable. And I thought about this thing, you know, all spiritual blessings. And, you know, what do we think about that specifically? God is to be praised because he is the one who has conferred his favor upon us, you know, and grace's favor, right? So it's kind of connected a little bit to grace, because he gives it to us, not because we deserve it, because he wants to. He just blesses us. I thought about it when I'd start this off. I was going to say, who's blessed here today? And, you know, but we all are. All the time. And he confers his favor upon us with all spiritual favors in the heavens. So that's a pretty big thing, isn't it? There's never a moment when we're not blessed. We may not think we're blessed, or, you know, you may be unhappy at times for some reason or another, but you're always blessed. Let's go to Acts chapter 3. The more we know God, the more we understand God, the more we see what he's done for us, the more thankful we should be. It's almost overwhelming what he's done. In chapter 3, verse 25, it says, ye are the children. This is, written. Well, Acts is a history of the first century church, right? And Luke is the one that wrote it. And here, this is Peter's talking on the day of Pentecost. And he says, ye are the children, and he's speaking to Israelites that were there on the day of Pentecost. He says, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. You know, God's saying, you know, in your seed, which refers to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, right? In your seed, when he comes, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. They're going to be favored. They're going to have an opportunity. Unto you first, God, having raised his son Jesus, more Jesus is not really in the text, but raised up his son and sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities or his wickedness or evil or sin. That's a blessing that God has turned us away from sin. You know, it says in another place, we're holy and without blame before him in love. That's a blessing you may not think about, very often, but it is a blessing. So he sent his son to bless Israel by turning them away there from their wicked ways. But, you know, he did that for anybody that becomes born again, doesn't he? Let's go to James. The book of James, chapter 3. What a great thing that God did for us. And all nations are blessed, you know, through Abraham, the seed of Abraham. And they didn't really understand that. And obviously the Jews didn't understand it when Jesus Christ came because, you know, they were a very strict and rigid society at that point. And Gentiles were looked down upon as dirt and dogs and, you know, and they separated themselves. And however, the Pharisees used the Romans when they wanted to get at Jesus Christ, didn't they? So they didn't think very highly of them, but they had no problem using them to get what they wanted. James chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." Wow. "Therewith bless we God, even the Father." You know, we praise God with our tongue. "And therewith we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be." You know, we shouldn't be cursing people. We should be blessing people. And he says these things shouldn't be. You know, we should bless. We should praise people. We should confer favor upon them. And cursing means to invoke evil. You know what invoke means, right? You command it or you pray for it or, you know, people put hexes on people and stuff like that. That's a curse, right? Pretty crazy. Let's go to Deuteronomy. This is really interesting because people talk about these things. In the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, chapter 28, it talks about blessings and cursings. Blessings and cursings. So in verse 1 of chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, it's called the second giving of the law. Leviticus is the first giving, but it's really a little different. Leviticus was written to the Levites, basically, and it deals more with the ritualistic, ceremonial stuff, the ins and outs of the law, whereas in Deuteronomy, it's more about the practical application of the law and how to live. Anyway, chapter 28, verse 1, "It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." And then it gives you a list of the blessings, like, "Blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field, blessed shall be the fruit of the body, and the fruit of the ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and increase of thy kind, and the flocks, and the sheep, and thy basket shall, blessed shall be thy basket and thy store," and so on and so forth. And they're all what? They're all earthly blessings in the physical world. You know, in Ephesians it said, well, we're blessed with spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. Well, these were earthly blessings that he would give Israel. Why? Well, they didn't have spirit. They didn't really understand spiritual blessings, so to speak. So God had to speak to them in a way that they could understand it. Now, they did get spiritual blessings, whether they believed it or understood it or not, because God gave them the first shot at the Messiah, you know, and the Messiah was to come from them. And they could have, you know, been priests, a nation of priests, if they had so followed him and obeyed him, but they didn't. Then we go down to, and of course, these blessings were dependent on what? On them obeying, right? They were dependent on their believing. It was, you know, it wasn't automatic. Our blessings are automatic. Once we get born again, that's it. We have all spiritual blessings in heaven. Their blessings were contingent upon their believing and their obedience and their doing what God told them. So then we get down to verse 15, and it says, but, and we could read it, that should be in, you know, huge letters in darkened print or whatever. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. So if they don't do it, what's going to happen? They're going to get cursed. One of the curses, curse shall be in the city, shall be in the field, curse shall be the basket in thy store, and so on and so on. Just like the blessings, you know, it ain't going to go so good for you. And if you go through the Old Testament and you read, when they listened to God, they got blessed. And when they didn't, those things happened. And it went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth all the time. Pretty crazy. If you shall hearken unto the Lord thy God. What a great thing. Curses are the invoking of bad or evil things. You know, the blessings were rain and the curse was no rain. The blessings were you'd be safe in the city, and the blessing was, or the curse was, your city would get attacked and you'd get taken captive and so on and so forth. So in the Old Testament, God's blessings were contingent and dependent upon the obedience, and they were conditional. You know, it's just a conditional thing, dependent on what they did. In the New Testament, there are no curses pronounced against the Christian believer. Now, I've heard people teach stuff about that. I remember one time, a famous evangelist, there was this flood or something in a city, and he said, that's because those people in the city sinned. You know, God brought it upon them. Well, that's not what the Bible says. So let's go to 1 Peter. There is no such thing as a curse to us. No matter what people say or think, and you know, there are certain Christians that believe that there are curses, right? Yeah. And certain cultures and societies. I mean, and they profess to be Christian, but then they'll also invoke curses on people. Or put the hex on them.
Evil eye.
Yeah, that's another one. Chapter 3 of 1 Peter. Did I tell you that?
Yeah.
Verse 8. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Okay? Then it goes on, verse 9. Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing. Remember Jesus Christ hanging on the cross and they railed on him? He didn't rail on him. He said, God forgive them. They know not what they do. That's pretty incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
What an amazing thing. When Stephen was stoned, he said, don't lay this on their charge. You know? That's really walking with God. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that ye are therefore unto called that ye should inherit a blessing. You know, we inherit blessings. You know, not because we do something. I mean, we may get blessings for do something. You know, if we do what we're supposed to do, then we're supposedly we get rewards, right? It's promised to us that we're going to have different rewards, different crowns. We can earn those things, and those are blessings. But we have all the spiritual blessings that God can confer, you know, He's given us zillions of blessings. We don't even know them all. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Or, you know, follow after it. What a great thing. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. What a great thing that God has done for us. You know, it says in Ephesians, it says he will show the riches of his kindness, of his grace for the ages to come. Well, that's blessings, right? That's spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. Galatians 3, verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith or believing are the same are the children of Abraham. You know, Israel made a big deal about being children of Abraham. You know, when Jesus Christ confronted the Pharisees, they said, well, we be the children of Abraham. We're not born, what did they say, in adultery or something. But they didn't know who he was, or they didn't believe who he was. He told them. But it says, those that are of faith, those that are believing, are the same as the children of Abraham. Well, what did God bestow upon the children of Abraham? Blessings, right? He made all these great promises. And the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith or believing, heathen would be usans, Gentiles, non-Jews, non-Israelites. So Michelle's not included in that. Sorry. Through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Wow, great. Not, you know, there's no requirement for that. They're blessed because Jesus Christ came to save everybody, save the world, right? So then they which are of the believing or faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. How was Abraham blessed? You know, if you go back and read the record of Abraham, he was blessed like crazy. You know, God resurrected his body. He couldn't have children. So he basically raised his body from the dead at 99. He his wife got pregnant. At 100, Isaac was born. Pretty amazing. You know, he was blessed in that the Messiah was going to come from his bloodline. God even made a great promise. He said, when you fall asleep and go to your fathers, it will be peaceful. You will fall asleep in peace. That's a great promise. And it says, so then they which be of faith or believing are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every man that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Okay, could anybody do all the works of the law? No, they failed at it all the time. That's why it was a curse. It was hard to do. You know, the Pharisees, you know, they went nuts over it and they took the law and they made it even more difficult. You know, so God says you should do no menial work. Right? Is it menial? Yeah. I think so. Menial work on the Sabbath day. So they said, well, you can't even walk so many steps, or you're allowed to walk so many steps on the Sabbath day. That's why it says a Sabbath day's journey. Yeah. You know, you had to count your steps. If you go to places where there's a huge Jewish population, right? I know in my town we had one where it was a, what do they call it? Orthodox synagogue. And all these guys lived right, you know, within walking distance of the synagogue. And by Jeffrey in Atlanta, there's a section there where when you ride through on a Friday night or a Saturday evening, you see them walking to synagogue because they can only walk so many steps and they count them. And if you take one more step, boom, you've sinned, right? That's pretty crazy. And so on and so forth, you know? So not only was the law cursed, but then these guys took it and made it worse. Because it's not really what it was talking about. Anyway, but no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Which is a quotation from Haggai, that great prophet. And we're not required to live under the law, right? The only law that we live under is the law of love, you know, in Christ Jesus. Don't curse, bless. Be courteous, love one another, be kind to one another, be forgiving. And the law is not of faith or believing, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. You know, he redeemed us from the curse of the law, and then because of that and what he did, God blessed us with all spiritual blessings. How cool. You know, just amazing. And then it says, Christ redeems us. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through believing. What a blessing that is, huh? That we receive the Spirit. That's a great blessing. He conferred that favor upon us and gave us his Spirit. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. When you sit and just think about what God's done, it's just overwhelming. Takes your breath away. Romans chapter 4, verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. This is, you know, goes back to Abraham. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That we were made righteous and sanctified. Those are certainly spiritual blessings, aren't they? You know, how great was that? The Israelites, the Jews, had to work to be righteous. And when they made a mistake, they were unrighteous. You know, we may do unrighteous things at times, but we're never unrighteous. We're always righteous because God has made us the righteousness. Well, we're made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's pretty simple. So, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him, on God, that justifieth the ungodly, his faith or believing is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Well, is that describe us? Sure does, you know. We are righteous without works. It's imputed to us because we believed. Pretty simple. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. You know, we're holy and without blame before him in love, aren't we? All our sins have been remissed, past, present, and future. Our sin nature is washed away. Wow. How great. Let's go to James chapter 1. The word blessed also can mean happy. Old Testament, many places, if you look, it means happy. Like in Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man who does not sit in the counsel of the ungodly. I'm sure Johnny Hines has it memorized. Anyway, chapter 1 of James. And that means happy, that verse there. Here in chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Blessed there means happy. Happy is he that endureth temptation, meaning you don't give in to the temptation. Then in verse 25, it says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, and being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." And we're to be doers of the word, not just hearers. And when you do it, you're blessed in what you're doing. That's pretty great. Let's go back to, did we do 1 Peter 3? Yeah, okay. I have it in here twice. I don't know why. Let's go to Revelation. Oh, my gosh. Revelation. Scary. It is so funny how convoluted and misrepresented the book of Revelation is. You know? And if you know what it says in there, and then you see these things about... what is it? Armageddon, yeah. It's, you know, all these horrible things. Like one movie, Armageddon, it was a comet that was going to strike Earth and destroy it. Or Armageddon in the future, they have these science fiction movies where, you know, it's total destruction and aliens come. Or, virus kills 90% of the people in the world. Or we have zombies or... you know, all this crazy stuff. And really, Armageddon is a place that's talked about where the armies of the world are gathered together by the devil against the Christ and against the believers. And then lightning comes from heaven or whatever from God and it destroys them. That's it. Boom, it's over with. And that, actually, it's going to be kind of cool.
Yes.
For us, anyway, not for them. Okay, Revelation 14, verse 13. This is, you know, John, and he's in that vision of Revelation that God gave him. It says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Wow, it's pretty cool. It's from this time. You know, there's a time after the gathering together when people will have an opportunity to believe. And if they believe, they're going to be blessed. So that's pretty great. Let's go to chapter 20. There were a bunch more in here, but I just looked at a couple. And verse 6. Well, we'll start in verse 1 because it's kind of interesting. "And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now, you know, that's covering all bases of who the devil is. The old dragon, and the word dragon simply means, it's just the translation. It means a big snake. That's what it means, a big snake. That old serpent, and he's all going back to what, Genesis and before, which is the devil. We know who the devil is, right? Lucifer. And Satan. And Satan is what? It's the devil working in the world by manipulative means, by, you know, behind the scenes. And bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones and they sat upon them and the judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. That's pretty cool. Now that's, again, after the gathering together, because we're gathered, right? And then we are ever with the Lord. And then after that happens, that's when these people are faced with the beast, who's the false god that's set up by the devil. Okay? And these guys refuse it. So some of them got beheaded. Not a very happy thought. But they get rezzed. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Okay? And this is the first. There are several resurrections. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Okay? Well, they get blessed too. They get a blessing. See? But you know what? It's cool because we're already blessed with all the spiritual blessings in heaven. We're already with Christ and we're ever with the Lord, seated in the heavenlies. What a great blessing that is. So the first resurrection is great, but it's not for us because we've already been raised from the dead or we've been changed.
Yeah.
Either one. In the church, there are no curses, only blessings. Every promise for now and in the future, every gift, every right, and every privilege is a blessing to us who believe. Think about it. Every promise, every privilege, every gift, everything that God's given us is a blessing, isn't it? And we're blessed with all spiritual blessings. It's just overwhelming what God did for us. He didn't have to do that, did he?
No.
He could have said, you know, I'll give you some, and if you're good, I'll give you more. But he didn't. He just conferred it upon all of us. He has no favorites. We're all his favorites, which is kind of cool. So we're blessed with all spiritual blessings. Amen.